This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by Go Engineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit theuavdigest.com/goengineer. And by UAV Propulsion Tech, a provider of propulsion, servo, autopilots, and rescue and recovery parachute solutions for the unmanned aerial vehicle market. For more information, check out www.uavpropulsiontech.com. You're listening to episode 79 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
And I'm David Vanderhoof in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Bit chilly today, but I'm looking forward to the show tonight.
I'm looking forward to the show, but I'm also looking forward to the end of winter, but I think that's going to be a long wait.
Yeah, Mr. Groundhog didn't do us any justice earlier in the week.
No. But our first story is kind of a hot one, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we're going to have... Good morning, Volcano. Good Morning America actually did an interesting story. Alibaba wants a new flying carpet. Exemptions, and more exemptions. A poll with not-so-surprising results. A video of the week. And, of course, so I guess we should get started, huh, Max?
Let's get started.
Well, if a drone crashing on the White House lawn wasn't enough public attention for our little industry, Good Morning America, what I would call one of the bastions of dronism, actually took a pair of DJI Phantoms with DJI Flyers up to Iceland to videotape a volcano.
That's right, and they did that live on the ABC Good Morning America television show for our international listeners who may not be aware of that. Good Morning America is a daily or weekday show, very popular. Probably everybody in the United States has heard of it, and many of them watch it. So this was a huge amount of publicity for drones. And, you know, David, I thought it was interesting that, I mean, this was kind of risky, right? Here they have these drones up in Iceland, as you say. They're going to fly them up over a volcano, take a look at the lava, and broadcast all this live. I mean, if the thing had gone south in some way, it would have been a big problem. But it really was spectacular images.
It really was, and it really was surprisingly not a hit piece. It's a very positive positive view of what drones can do, and of course, it was a DJI Inspire, and they also had a Chase, so you got a video of the drone videotaping the volcano, and you've got the videotape of the volcano, and like you said, they did it live, and it was kind of Ginger Z, who's their meteorologist on the show, was talking back to the New York studio, and they were having an interactive conversation. And the video was quite good, and it really put UAVs in a positive perspective.
And the flying was done by Eric Chang, who is the director of aerial imaging for DJI. So clearly DJI was actively involved in this. Of course, they had a pretty big stake in it, wanting to make sure that this was pulled off properly. And so it was fantastic. The images were just amazing. I mean, you're looking down at boiling lava from a height of, I'm not sure what the altitude was. I think it said in the article a couple of hundred feet or something like that. But in any event, the video was quite spectacular. And yeah, I think the main point of this, at least for our purposes, is that here they were showing a huge audience, a really good application for drones, very positive light. So I'm really happy that they did that. And David, I'm really happy that it was so successful too.
Yeah, good to DJI and good and ABC Network for putting on a spectacular show and flawlessly. So, but let's move across to the other side of the world to Alibaba beats Amazon drone to drone delivery. This is also from ABC News. Alibaba is China's Amazon, I guess, is the best way to describe it.
And it's huge. The Wall Street Journal calls them China's biggest online commerce company. This thing has, it's got hundreds of millions of users, millions of merchants and businesses. And they say that the Alibaba e-commerce activity is, in fact, bigger than eBay and Amazon.com combined. Last year, they did $248 billion worth of e-commerce. So this is a big company, a lot of muscle, and they're testing package delivery by drone.
Yeah, they wanted in Beijing, Shanghai, and Jiangsu, they're going to have a three-day package delivery test for customers that are within a one-hour flight by quadcopter from their warehouse. One hour flight from a quadcopter. That's just, I don't know. I was sort of taken back by that, and I sort of was like, that's really optimistic, you know? Considering how well the Mexicans were doing with their sort of 30-minute flights with 8-pound loads, with the drug deals that we've had recently. One-hour flight, I'm wondering what kind of quadcopter it is and how big it is and what its payload capacity is. If it's a DJI Phantom, it's not going to be, you might get a new book, but not much else.
Yeah, that one aspect of this article, that one-hour flight, that struck me as being an item that maybe needed a little bit more fact-checking on the part of the author, but that's okay. The big point is that, you know, they're out there testing it. They're going to be using this for delivery of a certain kind of tea, I guess. So if that's the case, it's not a particularly heavy payload, I would imagine. But it's interesting that, you know, Amazon is clearly wanting to get into this kind of an operation, but is sort of stymied now. We know that Google is testing delivery or has tested delivery in Australia, where it's a little easier for them to do that, certainly easier than in the United States. And while we're kind of messing around with those things, the Chinese are off and presumably moving closer to actual delivery. I guess it'll be interesting to see what the results of the test are. If they run into any kind of problems, what issues come up. I hope the communication is good on that, and I hope the follow-up reporting is good, because I think that'd be very instructive to learn what lessons they learn from a three-day test.
Well, my all I could think of when you talk about tea is tea for drones and drones for tea. Sorry, folks, it just that old school musician in me comes out. Well, all right. Since moving on from that, let's talk about this week in FAA news, or this week in FAA exemptions. This seems to be the new trend. Last year we had the buildup of all the flight test centers, and we were getting one of those every other week. This year it's how many other people got an exemption from a policy that really doesn't exist yet. And in this case, there was 8, which brings the exemption number up to 24.
That's right. And Total Safety US Inc. got an exemption for flare stack inspections, and then Slugware, doing business as Like on a Tree Aerial, they got an exemption for aerial photography and surveys. And then they also gave 3 exemptions to some film and television production companies, Team 5, Shot Over Camera Systems, and Helinet Aviation Services. And then to round out the exemptions, they actually granted some amendments, or they gave some amendments to 2 exemptions that were previously given to Pictor Vision and to Aerial Mob. We've talked about those guys previously. And the exemptions let them fly additional types of small UAS.
And, of course, it comes with the following. As with the last round of exemptions, the proposed operations do not need FAA-issued certificates of airworthiness because they do not pose a threat to national airspace users and or national security. I guess that's going to be the tagline for all of these exemptions going forward, huh?
It's so far, which is good, because if they start getting into requiring certificates of airworthiness, we've talked about that previously, that gets kind of into a new can of worms. But just almost coincidentally, I guess not completely, we mentioned Like on a Tree Aerial, and the other day we received an email from Doug Branch of that company, and he notes that, well, he's enjoyed listening to the episodes and found them informative, so thanks for the compliment. But he notes that he just, you know, had learned of the Section 333 exemption that Like on a Tree Aerial had received. It took them 6 months to get that exemption. And he said that overall the process, although long, was actually reasonable. He says perhaps the most difficult part was the waiting to hear back from the FAA at a couple of times in the process. And he says after reading and rereading his exemption, it appears that there is going to be some additional administrative work that will be required. And he says that in an effort to be proactive, he's reached out to his local Flight Standards District Office, the FISDO, that's the FAA office, and talked with a few different inspectors to bring them into the loop on his exemption. They've been appreciative of the call and are actually excited to work together on this process. And then finally, Doug closes with, I know that the FAA is getting some heat for being behind in the lawmaking process when it comes to UASs. However, I'm really optimistic that they are trying to move the process forward, even if it isn't as fast as we would like it. He says, I'm looking forward to working with the inspectors at the local level as I continue the process. So I want to thank Doug for sending in that that feedback, that information. It's interesting to see after you've received one of these exemptions, David, what, you know, what happens next.
I'm sorry, but I think it's really cool that one of our listeners is actually one of the FAA exemptions. It means we're really doing, I'm going to pat us on the back, but it means we're actually doing a good job. And Doug, I really, after a while, I figured it out. I really like the Like a Tree name for your company after I realized that your last name was Branch, like on a tree. So, Doug, I really appreciate it. And, of course, thank you for listening. And Max and I are going to just say, could you keep us in the loop? We'd like to keep, we'd like to have you as our model exemption that we can follow along and see what happens next. We'd like to know what the next steps are and what you're going. So definitely keep us in the loop. So let's talk more exemptions. And this was from UASmagazine.com. And Bird's Eye View received an exemption in the last round, which I guess we would have talked about in episode 78. And they're now that they've got the exemption, they're looking to expand it to the entire U.S. And specifically, he's looking for basically a call for pilots. UAV operators that have a private pilot's license or multi-hour experience flying UAVs, as well as they need to understand maintenance and be able to file a pre-flight check and a post-maintenance log. So interesting that in this case, Burns Eye View is taking, and Mark Burns is taking the exemption and starting to run with it and trying to go for it. Now, what I didn't know when we talked about this, Max, was, are the exemption states specific? I don't remember knowing that, if these exemptions are local to their local area or they're able to, they fit the whole national airspace. Do you remember reading that?
No, I don't. And that's a great question, David. Yeah. Are these exemptions geographically specific, or not. And I mean, clearly we see here with Mark Burns' company, he's looking to expand beyond the geography. I mean, we've talked about real estate video kind of being one of the key applications that's sort of waiting in the wings to grow explosively, probably. And here's a case where one real estate video and production firm has got his exemption and is looking to grow his company beyond his home region in San Diego. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see if there's issues that come up associated with that growth. It also indicates that, if this is what an exemption lets you do, that those of you who have a business opportunity that you're looking to develop, get your exemption requests in, I guess. Otherwise, your competition may get in there ahead of you, and create the business that you'd be hard pressed to catch up with. Interesting issues.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, we talk about this every week, but we'll see how many exemptions we have this upcoming week. What's going to be really interesting is then, are there going to be sort of operator issues with operating in multiple states? You know, are there's going to be state licensure and state sales tax and all that? So, again, I guess we could try to reach out to Mr. Burns to see what he's looking to do to expand it and go from there. So let's talk about polling. When I was in college, there was lies, there was damn lies, and then there were statistics, and then there was polyscience. So polling has never been one of my favorite things in the world, but this was from yahoo.com. Americans are okay with police drones, private ownership, not so much. Interesting Reuters Ipsos poll. And 73% of the respondents said they want regulations for small drones. 100% of drone operators said they wanted regulations for small drones. But
you added that in, didn't you?
That sample wasn't actually surveyed. But the results, really, considering the general public and their knowledge of UAVs, isn't surprising. Do you agree, Max?
No, it's not. But it's important to note that this poll, most of it was conducted in late January. So that was before, for most of the respondents, we understand, before the White House lawn incident. But the numbers are interesting nonetheless. One interesting number is that 42% of the respondents oppose private ownership of drones, and they think that they should be restricted to officials or other trained experts. 30% said that they were okay with private drone ownership, and apparently the rest, which I didn't check the math, but I think is 28%, didn't have any idea. They were undecided. But gosh, 42% oppose private ownership of drones. Now, this may be about the privacy issues, that may be the concern there. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know what to make of it, other than clearly the general public still has a negative connotation of drones. And now, this was only 2,000 respondents, but 2,000 is a decent sample size. And I'd like to know more about the demographics of who they surveyed. We still need us in the UAV industry need to do a better job communicating. But like we had at the beginning of the show, GMA, we wonder how something like that will put a positive spin on drones. But what gets reported in the news is always the negative stuff, like near airplanes or White House lawns or... So we still got a bit of an uphill climb, clearly, but it's not surprising, I guess.
Yeah, no, I agree. I wonder if they'll repeat this poll at some point in the future and allow us to see if there's any trends developing here with public perception of drones. I think that's kind of the important part of this, but we'll have to wait and see what happens.
So I guess we should move on to our video of the week, huh?
Yeah, this was sent in to us by Bill.
Bill started off with his email saying, have you seen Seize Des Moines? Des Moines.
No, yes.
Seize Des Moines. It's an interesting aerial tour of Iowa's capital city in my hometown by a local photographer. It's a neat video, huh?
It is. And you know, when I look at this video, it seems a bit different than many other videos you see of tours around a city, showing the landmarks and the activities of the city. In that, this one really struck me as being the work of someone who is either a photographer or videographer with some degree of training in terms of composition and so forth. Because I think the shots are spectacular. It really does a good job of showing off the city of Des Moines and what it offers to visitors and as well as residents. But Bill did kind of have a concern on this video.
Yeah, Colin Powers, who shot the video of Four Eyes Photo, we'll put a link in the show notes, did fly over crowds, over traffic, in close proximity to buildings. Clearly, he's a good pilot, but there was definitely some concerns over how it was shot and the riskiness of it being shot. So I would hope that given the quality of it, that Mr. Powers actually took the time to scout the area and knew what he was doing ahead of time. But I can understand why Bill would have concerns.
Yeah, I did as well. I mean, one of the shots is, I guess, the farmer's market, also the Iowa State Fair. These are very crowded public events. And I'm just not personally comfortable with flying over such populated events. And again, it comes down to what happens if there's a failure of some sort, either a mechanical failure on the drone or the communications link failure or problem, or, you know, anything can happen. And I think the fail-safe mechanisms built into these, there's some provisions for certain failure modes, but for a lot of them, there are not. And, when it occurs, down comes the drone. And, if you're underneath it at the time, it may not be so pretty. But in any event, it is a great video. And we want to thank Bill for sending that in to us.
Well, I think, Max, we're going to have a bit of a short show this week, but because I think that pretty much wraps up what we need to talk about this week. I know that I've got a little bit on my mind, so I'm going to beg our listeners' forgiveness, and we'll get back to a normal show next week.
And we want to thank you all for listening to this episode of the UAV Digest. This has been episode 79. So you can find us at theuavdigest.com. And if you want to go straight to the show notes, you can visit theuavdigest.com/79 for episode 79. And we'll have links to the articles, some of the videos, not only our video of the week, but others that are part of the stories we talked about. You can find all that at theuavdigest.com.
And, of course, we have an active Twitter account, which is at @UAVDigest. Don't forget our Facebook page, which is slowly growing, but we need more people there, which is facebook.com/UAVDigest. Email, and of course, Max and I love email, and we try to we read everything and try to get back to you. And that would be feedback@theuavdigest.com. Or if you want to send it specifically to Max or I, it's either max@theuavdigest.com or david@theuavdigest.com. If you love us, definitely go to iTunes and leave us a review. It's been a while since we've got one, so we could use another one. And it's the way to help grow our listenership, because the higher ratings we have, I still like us to be the number one UAV podcast on iTunes, which we are currently. So, but we want to continue that.
And you can also find us on Stitcher.com. With that, you can stream us right to your mobile phone. And we also offer some swag, t-shirts and things like that. We have a Cafe Press site, cafepress.com/theUAVDigest, or you can just click the swag button on our webpage and it'll take you right there.
We now have a swag button on our webpage.
We've always had a swag button on our webpage. Up at the top.
And of course, folks, if you'd like to help Max and I fund this little endeavor, and we're working behind the scenes, we're going to try to bring you more guests and more content, but you can donate at patreon.com/theUAVDigest or click on the donut link to buy us coffee and donuts. Click on the donate link on theUAVDigest.com.
All right, David, with that, I think it's a wrap.
It is. So I'll sign off by saying this is David in Philly.
And Max in Hartford.
Thanks for listening.